This is episode 139 of the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, Sunni Shia Split by Hank Hanegraaff. This article first appeared in the Christian Research Journal print edition, volume 40, number 3, in 2017. The Christian Research Journal Reads podcast presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. To read the full text of this article along with its documentation, please go to equip.org. That's EQUIP.org.
Sunni Shia Split by Hank Hanegraaff, read by Christina Wintersteller. The split between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, had its genesis in the homicide of Muhammad. The Sunni believe Muhammad was poisoned by the Jewess Zainab, while Shias are convinced he was poisoned by two of his wives, Aisha, daughter of Abu Bakr, the first rightly guided caliph, and Hafsa, daughter of Umar, the second rightly guided caliph. The Sunni scenario is rife with intrigue. Muhammad had just massacred the Jews of Khaybar, divided female booty among his men, and selected the most beautiful of the women for himself. Thereafter, the Jewess Zainab allegedly served lamb laced with poison to him and his murderous accomplice, Bishr. Bishr died that day. Muhammad was not as fortunate. It allegedly took 3 to 4 years of horrific headaches and fever before the malicious mutton finally got the better of him. He died June 8, 632. In the Shia scenario, it was two of Muhammad's harem who conspired with their fathers to bring about the death of the prophet. Shiites think it utterly absurd to imagine that Muhammad would eat lamb offered up by a woman who had just witnessed the murder of her husband, father, uncle, and children. Moreover, it is hard for Shia intellectuals to swallow the notion that it took 3 or 4 years for the poisonous mutton to do him in. Shia Sheikh Yasser al-Habib cogently argues that it may have taken months but could not have taken years. Myriad theories surround Aisha's murderous motives. She may have been embittered by her father's decision to marry her off to a man as old as he was, or perhaps she could no longer endure the sexual oppression of a sexagenarian. She may have been intensely jealous of Muhammad's passion for the exquisitely beautiful Egyptian Coptic slave Maria, or upset that Muhammad had accused her of adultery. Then again, the motive may have been financial. Abu Bakr and Aisha, lusting after an inheritance that Muhammad had given to his daughter Fatima and her husband Ali, who was also Muhammad's cousin. Whatever the motive, the Shia are convinced Aisha murdered Muhammad, while the Sunni are persuaded that the Jewess Zainab was ultimately responsible. This is hugely significant in that immediately following the murder of Muhammad, a great controversy arose over who should succeed him. Those loyal to Aisha and Abu Bakr believed it should be the best representative of the Muslim community. Those loyal to Muhammad's daughter Fatima and her husband Ali were hell-bent on the notion that it should be a blood relative. In the end, much to the chagrin of Ali, the blood relative of Muhammad, Abu Bakr succeeded Muhammad as the first rightly guided caliph of Islam. Abu Bakr would be dead 2 years later, 634, and Umar, father of Hafsa, Aisha's alleged co-conspirator, would succeed him as second rightly guided caliph. Umar reigned a mere decade, 634 to 644, and Uthman, who succeeded him, a meager dozen years, 644 to 656. Following Uthman's murder by a group of Muslim malcontents, Ali, son-in-law of Muhammad, finally got his turn as the fourth rightly guided caliph of Islam. Ali would reign a scant 5 years, 656 to 661, before being assassinated on the way to the mosque. Thus concluded the era of the four rightly guided caliphs in what is fondly commemorated as Islam's greatest golden age, 632 to 661. In essence, then, each of the first three rightly guided caliphs was considered to be the best representative of the way, Sunnah, of Muhammad, while Ali, the fourth rightly guided caliph, was finally supported, Shia, as the blood relative of Muhammad. The split between Sunni and Shia morphed into an unbridgeable chasm with the martyrdom of Hussein, 680, son of Ali and grandson of Muhammad. Having had the temerity to oppose what he believed to be the oppressive and religiously misguided caliphate of the Umayyads and asserting his preeminence as the blood relative of the Prophet, Hussein, and 72 family and friends were martyred by an overwhelming show of Sunni military might. From then till now, the beheading of Hussein and company continues to be a passion motif inflaming Shia fury toward the Sunni, as well as paving their path toward paradise. Each year on the 10th day of Muharram, the first month of the Islamic calendar, Shia the world over commemorate the beheading of Hussein through plays and processions and by pounding their bare backs in mournful tribute to the severed head of their beloved imam. For every tear shed, it is said that 100 sins are forgiven. Yet with every self-flagellation, the divide between Shia and Sunni deepens. Due to reverential awe for Ali and Hussein, Shia Islam regards the imams that followed these iconic men to be infallible interpreters of hidden meanings embedded in the text of the Quran. By contrast, in Sunni Islam, the imam is less like a pope and more akin to a parish priest. The majority faction within the Shia sect are called Twelvers, in that they acknowledge 12 historical imams, the last of whom they believe went into a state of hiddenness in the year 873, while another faction dubbed Seveners await the return of a seventh imam, variously believed to be either Musa or his brother Ismail. Shia believe that when the Mahdi, either the 12th or 7th imam, emerges from his hiddenness, occultation, he will uproot the religions of the world. He will destroy the Antichrist and establish Sharia as the undisputed universal law of humanity. Sunnis have a very different perspective on the matter. In their view, there is an end-time messianic Mahdi who, unlike the Shia Mahdi, is not presently in occultation. While this Mahdi figures prominently into Sunni eschatology, it is Jesus who will return and usher in the long-awaited messianic age. Quote, Allah's apostle said, "The hour will not be established until the Son of Mary," for example, Jesus, "descends amongst you as a just ruler. He will break the cross, kill the pigs, and abolish the jizya tax. Money will be in abundance so that nobody will accept it as charitable gifts," unquote. We should also note that while Sunni Islam has four schools of Sharia, Hanafi, Hanbali, Maliki, and Shafi'i, Shia has only one, Ja'fari. Other differences include the Sunnis' belief that the Quran is eternal and uncreated, in contrast to the Shia belief that the Quran is temporal and created. Sunnis are more geared toward predestinarianism, while the Shia hold more closely to a freedom of the will perspective. And while Sunnis forbid pictures in mosques, Shia mosques are replete with pictures of holy places and holy people, most notably Ali, Hussein, and Muhammad. In terms of numbers, of the 1,600,000,000 Muslims in the world, Sunnis constitute the clear majority, in the vicinity of 80 to 90%. The 10 countries with the largest Muslim populations are by number Indonesia, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nigeria, Egypt, Iran, Turkey, Algeria, and Morocco. Shia have a majority in only four countries, Iran, Azerbaijan, formerly Soviet Republic, Bahrain, and Iraq. If there is a kernel of hope for reunification amongst Sunni and Shia, it is found in the longing for the return of either Jesus or the Mahdi as a catalyst for bringing the whole of humanity into Dar al-Islam, House of Islam. Despite the perpetual hatred between Sunni and Shia, they have remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Both believe in Muhammad as God's final revelator. The Quran is God's final revelation and Islam as God's final religion. Moreover, Sunnis and Shiites cling in unison to the five pillars of Islam. Shahada, quote, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah," unquote. Salat, prayer five times a day for Sunnis, three for Shia. Zakat, giving alms for the benefit of needy Muslims. Psalm, fasting during the month of Ramadan. Hajj, Meccan pilgrimage as able.
Thank you for listening to another episode from the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, which provides audio articles of Christian Research Journal articles. If you go to equip.org, you will find a brand new article for the Christian Research Journal published weekly. In addition, please subscribe to our other podcasts. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you will find the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, the Postmodern Realities podcast, which features interviews with Christian Research Journal authors, our flagship podcast, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the Hank Unplugged podcast, where CRI President Hank Hanegraaff takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting and informative people on the planet. At equip.org, you will also find a lot of resources to equip you, including many thousands of Christian Research Journal articles. That's EQUIP.org.